episode of Below the Dot Podcast, where we recap and discuss a new episode of Degrassi, The Next Generation, every Throwback Thursday from the Degrassi Black Hole. I am your co-host, Terry McGregor.
I am your other host, Chris Sharp.
And today we are recapping Season 7. It's a two-part episode. I believe this is Episodes 5 and 6, titled Death or Glory. Death or Glory? Yes. But before we get into it, we're going to take a moment to include a trigger warning regarding today's episode, because there are some heavy topics. So as we always like to say, listen and or watch with care or exit out.
Excellent. Yes, I have four trivia questions. What is the name of Spinner's testicle?
It's something junior. It's Gavin Jr.
Good job. What do Darcy, Danny, and Derek have to do for detention?
They have to wash the windows of Mr. Simpson's classroom?
Yes. What kind of cancer did Spinner's dad have?
Oh, lung cancer. This was a new fact for me.
Where can you find a video of the Spinner and Johnny smackdown?
Oh my god, it's My Room Something. It's the equivalent of their World Star Hip Hop.
My Room video page.
That is so funny. Not the MySpace knockoff.
Yes, so I thought that was funny. Yeah, look at you with 100%.
Can you tell I watched the episodes today again?
I'm so proud of you.
I didn't see the trivia questions, but I just clicked into your notes trying to get to the freaking intro and then quickly exited out so I didn't spoil it for myself.
Wow, girl, cheating.
But I should probably pull up my notes now. Okay, I found them.
I do have a couple tidbits, unless you had some.
I do too, but you can start.
No, you go first.
My one tidbit is, or I have two, but I feel like, anyway, my one is that at some point during the episode, Spinner asked Jimmy if he watched the Toronto Raptors game, which is a basketball team that Drake ends up becoming like a global ambassador for in 2013, and they named their practice facility the OVO Athletic Center. So just a full circle moment that Drake is like a part of that team.
I was just thinking that when you said it, all I can like view is Drake standing up and doing his clap at the games.
Yes. Because that's the funny thing, too, is my initial question that I looked up was, does he own it? Because I feel like that's what everyone thinks because he does all the extras at the games. But he definitely doesn't own it. Like, he's just like an ambassador.
This is irrelevant, but I despise when you buy stuff from a company and they think that they're going to charge you to send it back.
I hate that.
And I would take it to a nearby location, but fun fact, there are none in my area.
See, when it's crazy, stuff like that, you need to just let people ship it back for free if it's not like a, like what would it be, like a Walmart or something that's accessible.
It's like I live in a major city. There's no reason why this store doesn't exist in my city.
Right.
That's a you problem. But anyway, that's not part of the episode. anything else you want to add before I give us some tidbits from the inbox?
No, I did see we had some from the inbox, so I will let you take it away.
We did. I did have a message both on Instagram and in our Gmail account. Unsure if it's the same person because it is answering the same question. So I'm sorry if you are the same person. Also, I'm sorry if you're different people. I don't know. The song Kissing in the Stairwell was probably about Marco kissing Craig to make Dylan jealous.
I totally forgot that that was a thing.
So unless anyone else can come with more, I got two people saying the same thing. So either two people are one person or one person is two people. I don't know. That sounded good to me.
Yeah, that's so funny that Craig really like outlined the last season, pretty much the last season or last few seasons that he was in with those titles. That's really funny.
Yes. So I thought that was funny, and I'm glad that you guys helped me on that one. The other tidbit, we actually should have said it last week, but we're going to add it this week. If you are my mother, stop listening. Anyway, so do you think that was Drake? because I don't think it was him.
Okay, I have like, at this point, I have multiple theories. I don't know that it was Drake, but also it does feel like the timing and everything is something that Drake would leak, even if it wasn't him, to get people talking about him because it was the week that Kanye West was dropping and they have like a beef. So I could totally see him looking for attention, even if it's not him, playing into it because of it.
Yes.
What do you think?
So I don't think it was him. And just because,
of course, you freeze at like the best part.
Annoying. I was just saying that I don't think it's him. It could be anyone. When you've got the face covered up, and I mean, I didn't stare at it long enough to be like, see, like, oh, are there tattoos? The picture, the video didn't look like great quality. I want to think Drake has a better phone than that.
True.
Like, it was really bad quality. I can't really see your face. This could truly be anyone. And did he claim it?
Yeah. I saw conflicting things that say he like posted like a cryptic story and then deleted it about like pretty much alluding to the fact that it was him or that like people were surprised. But I can't confirm or deny because AI exists, Photoshop exists. Anyone could have said that they, or anyone could have like crafted a fake Drake's Instagram post and posted it, you know?
Right. It's just like, exactly. There are so many things that make it fake. Unless Drake says it's me, here's me, and something that says it's me, like the, and honestly, even that is, and it's posted directly to his Instagram story, which I'm pretty sure Instagram would block. You're not gonna convince me that was him.
Mm-hmm.
My mama, who should not be listening to this conversation, always told me to believe half of what you see and none of what you hear, and so that's where I'm at on that.
Yeah, I don't know that I could buy that it's him either, because it really could be any light-skinned person with the edge up. That's why I kind of wondered, too, where it came from that it was him. But then again, I saw the conflicting things that said he was, like, kind of owning up to it, like, cryptically. But again, I think if it was, which it probably wasn't, interesting, because how did that get out? And if it was not, I think he definitely just played into the fact that people were talking to him or talking about him the same week that Kanye West dropped. So. That is so funny. I just can't believe it didn't randomly come up because I had texted you and said that it's pretty, it's like giving that Peter Stone leaked it.
Right.
Like,
and is that not what everybody was talking about at that time? So.
Right. That is funny.
All right. So anything else you want to say?
No. I guess. Yeah, no. Glad we got some lighter subjects in because this is a heavier episode.
So sorry about talking about that before this, but we're going to get into it. So episode one, plot B, Darcy, I'm awful. I said she's back on her bullshit. She is. Disclaimer, I know Darcy's going through a really hard time. I'm not discrediting that. And I actually think Sinead Grimes does a really good job of portraying Darcy during the storyline. And making her behavior kind of frustratingly irritating. Mm-hmm. One of my favorite quotes is that people who need the love the most do it, show it in the most unlovable ways, or some derivative of this. It's like, yeah, she really needs a lot of support, but she's doing a lot of mean and hurtful things. And she's really frustrating because she is so upset. That said, Darcy's a character. And this is 20 weeks old. So she can catch these metaphorical hands. Also, hang on. Someone's here to say goodnight. Say goodnight, Terry.
Goodnight.
Anyway, Darcy's doing a really good job at making, or Sinead Grimes is doing a really good job at demonstrating the angst and all the issues that her character is going through. So just remember that when somebody's a really shitty person, they might be going through something. So try to lead with kindness. And at best, you could always be quiet. Being quiet is free 99. But again, this episode 20 is 20 years old and she's a character. So, as I said, she can catch these metaphorical hands.
Yeah.
She tries to get dismissed from counseling by bribing Miss Sauvay with some flowers. Girl. She then insists that she's feeling better now. Miss Sauvay agrees to move Darcy to meeting one time a week during lunch, even though Darcy has still not told Miss Sauvay like what led to her trying to self-harm. Peter and Darcy are hanging out after school, and Peter is also very skeptical of Darcy's removal from counseling services. He says he's not new to having a sick girlfriend, and the red flags are blaring. But when he questions it, Darcy gets a really big attitude with him. And then she's like, oh, I'm just so sorry. I'm feeling fine. But then you can see on her face as they walk away that she is not okay.
Yeah, there's like nothing here that screams I actually need to be in counseling more than you like trying to bribe your counselor and then like your random like outburst. Yeah, because that wasn't her character before at all. And again, she's gone through something, so it makes sense. But girl, you're screaming for help.
Because Miss Sylvain just be sitting there. She's not even asking for anything. She just sits there. She's like, it's fine. I'll be here when you're ready.
Yeah.
But we're going to sit here and we're going to sit in silence.
Yeah. So. And sometimes that's obviously too loud for people, huh?
And honestly, I feel like she's really good at the fact that, I mean, people might think it's crazy, but it's like people have to talk when they're ready. So she says, okay, well, we'll go to this, you know? Let's try to work with you where you are.
Right.
Go back and maybe you will be fine. Let's give you that opportunity because she's in high school. So I think that maybe, I don't know, you want to give them a little bit more autonomy. But what the hell do I know? I'm not a high school counselor. During a test of media immersion, Darcy tells Mr. Simpson that he should bite her after he gives her a detention for talking. I personally think it was BS. I thought her getting a detention was BS because all she was doing was telling Danny and Derek to SDFU. Like, but in detention, Darcy tries to pretend that she's cleaning the windows for like volunteering, but Mr. Simpson said, I'm not lying for you. So pissed, she storms away. She comes back later to apologize to Mr. Simpson. And then she says, actually, I don't mean it because I'm back in counseling 3 times a week because you told on me. And Mr. Simpson is like, bitch, I think you need counseling.
Right. Because I didn't tell on you.
And I just feel like sometimes people unload on Mr. Simpson and he'd be like, I don't want to teach media immersion. He's a great empathetic teacher who wants to love and support his students. But like in this moment, he was like, I was just here to teach y'all about the media. Because Darcy yells back in his face what happened to her. She says, I was raped. And he looks like, damn. Can't believe I'm the person you're telling this to.
Right.
He realizes maybe he was a little bit too short with her. But then she says, she's like, I'm glad that you're treating me like a person instead of tiptoeing around me. So it's really hard because you have, from this point, it's like I said earlier, I said, you know, just try to be a little bit gentler. But apparently, you know, Darcy's sitting here saying, treat me like I'm a normal person. But maybe, I don't know. I don't know shit. So don't listen to me.
No, that made sense, though, because, it's, I mean, we didn't really see her interactions because it was the B plot. We didn't see her interactions with Peter like the way we're actually seeing her like have to interact with Mr. Simpson multiple times. Because they're not giving us, like, obviously Peter's like, oh, are you okay? And, like, pushing and stuff like that. But that's because that's his partner. You know what I mean? So, also, Mr. Simpson, like, openly says that she was on suicide watch. So, is that just, like, openly known because he's a teacher? Or openly known because people at Degrassi don't mind their business? You know what I mean?
I can see it being both. I believe it's Canada. Different settings, different schools, different districts, different countries. But it's possible that there could be some type of plan in place where it's like she can't be by herself.
Mm.
So like you're not going to send her to the bathroom alone. You got to send her in pairs. And if that is the case, then you're going to want, then teachers have to know, maybe not necessarily, I mean, they can deduce. You got to send the student, you got to have to send the student with another person. Then they're not stupid.
Yeah, I just thought it was interesting. But then I also see why Mr. Simpson is so empathetic, because he probably, like, I can see him seeing Emma and all these people at this point. You know what I mean? Because he actually taught Emma well. English. He taught Emma. So I feel like now when he sees people, he can easily be like, this is very similar to when I'm teaching Emma and then I know what she has going on at home. So he just ends up in everybody's business, you know, because they just feel comfortable with him.
He'd be trying, but he can't mind his own business. So he tries to tell Darcy, please go tell Miss Sylvain. And Darcy's like, no, I'm gonna tell you, which is particularly unfortunate if you consider where their plot line goes moving forward, because he's then gonna suffer those consequences. And he didn't even ask her to tell him.
Mm.
But he does try to do the best that he can. I deviate from watching the episode and like the topic to just think that I think it's funny saying that their fashion really did return 20 years later. because why are we also wearing bootcut jeans and like just her outfit? I think people are wearing that now.
100%. You could buy all of it.
I saw somebody wearing the platform shoes yesterday, like the way the Spice Girls used to wear back in what, 1996? I said, oh, okay, I guess we're doing that again. Okay.
Yeah, back like they never left.
So Mr. Simpson tells Darcy that he's there for her since she's not ready to tell anyone else besides Manny and Peter. Mistake. And we'll go on to plot A. Any questions, comments, or concerns?
Nope.
Awesome. So Miss H is on my last nerves because I feel like she does the most, but also the least at home with her own son. Because at the beginning of the episode, Spinner, Jimmy, and Ashley are in an overcrowded cafeteria complaining about the crowd and chaos when Spinner steps in to stop Johnny DeMarco from bothering somebody else. I'm pretty sure it's Toby, but I didn't go back to check.
It is Toby. They stay bullying Toby. Like, if
girl, they don't leave him alone.
Get this man some self-defense classes. This is crazy.
It's ridiculous. Why am I out of breath? Anyway. So Johnny pretends like he's going to stop acting like a monkey. Spinner's words, not mine. I'm confused. But then he tries to sucker punch. Oh, so Spinner called him a monkey, and Johnny's like, okay, I'm not going to act like a monkey anymore. And he turns around. But then he tries to, like, sucker punch Spinner by turning back around really quickly to punch him. But Spinner's reflexes are quicker than Johnny's fists, and he basically stops a fight from taking place. Like, he just holds his fist in place.
It was really giving, school hero. So yes. Animated.
So he stops the fight, he defends Toby, and then he goes about his business. Just want to say that as an aside, Spinner mentions to his friends that he's interested in Jane, but that's not where I'm going here. So we're talking about that just so we know what we're talking about later. Ashley talks about how Spinner's aptitude test suggested law enforcement, and he's like, yeah, but it also suggested Clown Academy, so... But their conversation gets interrupted by Miss H. And she's like, I heard about your run-in with Johnny DeMarco, and I want to reprimand you for your involvement. But Spinner, you heard about it. Did you hear the facts? Because he stopped the fight from taking place.
And who told you? Because if someone told you, why didn't they get involved if it was a teacher, like a faculty member?
Exactly. You know?
Like, you heard through the Degrassi grapevine because you don't have enough teachers? Like, girl.
Where am I? Well, you know what? Maybe Mr. Armstrong was busy.
I mean, girl, they only got about three people, but like, come on. Why did we welcome a whole other school in here?
Actually, when was the last time we've seen Mr. Armstrong?
So, probably the last time there was a fight that wasn't today's episode.
Let's find out. Maybe he had his last episode. When is his last episode? No, this man is in season 14.
He goes on for sure. I feel like he's in and out. He had to be like an independent contractor for them.
Was he in season 7? Yeah, he's definitely here. He's in 80 episodes.
Jeez.
Usually they have like a last episode. He's the longest running character in Degrassi history who's never been a regular character. Crazy. I guess in Hot for Teacher, it was revealed that he's married.
Mm.
He's also in Degrassi Next Class. Okay, so the conclusion is that Mr. Armstrong is absolutely still here. He must have been tutoring Liberty for her dyscalculia, and that's why he couldn't break up a fight.
Girl, he was busy that day.
Hang on a second. Spinner gets voluntold onto the stupid peace committee. And then Jane almost gets a detention, but Spinner's like, oh, but she's also going to join the peace committee. Jane is like, I'm not interested, but she joins. I think she needs to shampoo her hair instead of joining peace committee, though. It's gross.
But it's really the equivalent of Spinner, because how many times did we say that Spinner gave that vibe?
That's a very good question. He was just musty. Actually, he's musty in this episode.
Yeah, nothing has changed. It's literally exactly who he needs in his life, because it's the girl version of him, like Jimmy says.
To be fair, he was in the gym when he was musty. On the subject, I'm just going to say this for the record, and you can choose to answer or not. Mm. After you work out, do you take a shower?
Yeah, I think I know what you're referring to. I don't know how people do that. That's just nutty. Like, what do you mean?
I had someone disclose to me that they do not shower after they work out. They just put on their regular clothes and come to work.
Oh my goodness. That is so concerning. That's why I can't work out before work, because I can't imagine having to shower at work. That's annoying. But that doesn't mean I wouldn't do it.
I don't understand. I also don't understand why people tell people these things. I actually don't need to know your hygiene habits.
Yeah.
As long as you're not musty and you're not my friend, I don't need to know them. Actually, even if you are musty, if you're not my friend, I don't understand. Anyway. Jimmy and Spinner are working out after school, and Spinner feels like he has pulled something in his groin area. So Jimmy suggests that Spinner take something, but Spinner insists that the only thing he needs is loving from Jane. The peace committee is in session, and Spinner is trying to get to know Jane a little better, only to be interrupted by Liberty, but also they were interrupting her. Then Liberty gets interrupted after interrupting Jane and Spinner to learn that Danny is in a fight. And just when you think that Liberty is there to break up a fight, it actually results in Liberty fighting the other boy instead of Danny, because he said that kid who died asked for it. And then Spinner pulls Liberty away, but he ends up in extreme discomfort because, remember, his groin area was hurting him. Jimmy breaks it up and tells Spinner that he needs to go to the doctor to get his issues checked out. Fortunately, Spinner does take Jimmy's advice, and he goes to see a doctor despite, like, he's anxious about it. He doesn't want to. He is surprised to learn that the doctor found a lump within his testicles, and she says it could be anything, but she'll have to run additional tests to find out. Now, Spinner knows good and well he was expelled once, because I want him to remember that time he got his friend put in a wheelchair and sent down from this weird testosterone flex. But he then tells Jimmy about this possible cancer condition, only to end up in a run-in with Johnny/Lucas. He only stops when Jimmy points out that Miss H can see them. And I'm just like, do you remember getting expelled?
Right. He's already a super senior maybe. Like, why are we playing this game? And why does Miss H only ever know what Spinner's doing? Like, it actually makes no sense, because is anyone ever going to talk to Johnny and, like, the 10 people that he's with all the time? The world may never know.
Good things are happening for Spinner. And that he has a date or something, a hangout. I don't know. I just feel like the start to their relationship is so weird and shaky. And you don't really, because he's going through that cancer thing. So it's like, do you like her? Do you not? What are y'all doing? Anyway. He's hanging out at the pool hall, but after he ends up experiencing discomfort again, he leaves and kind of ghosts her. And he tells Spinner, or Jimmy, he tells him, like, oh, well, you know, she wasn't my type after all. To which, and as you said, Jimmy says, she's you with boobs. Very sad to report that Spinner does end up having testicular cancer. And as a result, he wonders who would want to be with a guy whose genitals, I love that autocorrect change that to gentles, do not function. He then looks at Jimmy and he realizes who he's talking to, and he rightfully apologizes, but he's also ignoring a phone call from the doctor. Something that's confusing to me is that while Spinner's having this conversation with Jimmy, they're working on some sort of project, and you weren't paying attention, I'm sure. He grabs a can of paint. He sticks his bare hand into the can, but he had nothing in his hand.
I did not see that at all.
And then he pretends to be mixing. Anyway, but we learn in the conversation that his dad had lung cancer. So Spinner is afraid of cancer based off of his dad's results. I'm really sorry to report that Spinner gets the results of his tests. They were able to catch the testicular cancer very early, fortunately. But again, it is for sure cancer, which I said earlier, but I guess he must have gotten some other type of phone call. Anyway, obviously this is really difficult news for him to take. So he decides he should fight in order to regain his masculinity. And he beats up Johnny DeMarco, who had been bullying poor Toby again.
It doesn't stop. It does not stop.
I guess he's going back into his villain era. It's just kind of what I thought when I saw it.
Yeah, he had a long villain era too, so
I'm so
I'm
glad
sure
this
it's
is
not hard.
like, it's not really a spoiler, but I'm glad that this is kind of a short thing for him. But anyway, any questions, comments about episode one?
No, I no, that's such like a it makes I'm so lost because I'm like, wow, it feels like we went through those two episodes already, but there's more.
And now a word from our sponsors. Back here again to remind you guys that you have to check out the new EP coming out this Valentine's Day, which is tomorrow for me, but it's yesterday for you, by IG handle Abstract Sam. That is ABSTRACTSAMM. Remember, there are two M's on the end of that name. So this EP is going to include three songs about breakups, heartbreak, and a poem about crushing on someone new. So if you love petty breakup songs the way you do, the way you do, the way we do, you'll love checking out this EP dropping by Abstract Sam. Abstract Sam, y'all, can I talk at all? This Valentine's Day, which is yesterday for you, but tomorrow for me. It's going to be on all streaming platforms, and you can follow her on either TikTok or Instagram under that username. And now back to the show. All right. So we're going to start with plot B. Was that the end of the Darcy storyline? Do I even watch these episodes? So we're back this four because Jesse and Ellie are still together. Why are they together? I don't know. They are. And
Don't
they
even know why we
plan
have a Marco storyline.
on. So they're trying to attend some event, and Marco tries to join, but he realizes that he's going to be a third reel. Oh, third wheel. God, I'm done talking. This is what confuses me. He tells Griffin that he's just doing his shidoki, and I look at the way that they spell it, and they spell it Shodoki, but then I googled it, and I was like, was he just doing Sudoku? Now, I'm certain I say Sudoku wrong, but I was like, is that how you're supposed to say Sudoku? But if that's how you say Sudoku, why are the captions wrong? So I don't know what he's doing, but he's hanging out by himself. And I know he wasn't doing martial arts because Griffin says, oh, well, I didn't know you were into martial arts. I don't think that's what he was doing.
Oh.
Anyway, he interrupts and he's asking for fashion advice. He invites Marco to a social event because he needs a wingman, and Marco jumps at the activity because he's desperate for friends. The next day, Griffin and Marco briefly reminisce about the great time they had together before Griffin leaves the rooming house. Paige and Ellie joke with Marco that he can't be alone. Apparently, they believe that sometimes he can be a little intense, and Ellie suggests that Marco get a pet. Even so, Paige gives Marco a flyer for some event at her job. I don't know what Paige's job is, but anyway. And she tells Marco to consider it as an activity that he should go to with Griffin. Griffin is studying when Marco's weird ass barges in to talk to him about the event from Paige's job. Initially, Griffin's kind of tries to blow him off, but then you can tell he feels guilty and he tells Marco, oh, we'll chat tonight and I'll see you at home. But unfortunately, he doesn't feel guilty enough because apparently a girl called him and prevented him from joining Marco at the sale. Marco is so offended, and I am an awful person because I thought it was hilarious how upset Marco was.
He was really offended, and it just goes to show that he is as intense as they say he is.
Right. So I almost wanted to side with Marco because, but then you find out that Griffin even left Marco a note. So it's like, I
Yeah.
mean,
Right. What are we even mad about? Like,
So Marco's upset, but Griffin left a note. I also would pick a girl over that sale. Griffin
They're in
just ends up,
college. Like, that's what they're doing. They're not doing actual work.
and
Like,
we ain't even friends. We're just roommates, which is exactly what Griffin
yeah.
tells Marco. Which is kind of hurtful, but sometimes you got to put people in their place. Because Marco's like, it's about building a relationship. And he's like, relationship? You're just my roommate. Burn. But Marco does realize that he is a problem. So he gets a bunny and he names it Hip Hop. Paige does give Marco a little pep talk about how being single doesn't mean that you have to be alone. And then Marco pulls a bunny out of a box. And that plot line ends.
See, I understand having like the palate cleanser B plot, as we say. But why did you give us Darcy's B plot in the first one then? If you were just gonna like disregard anything that happened to her to give us a storyline where Marco gets an emotional support animal.
You ask us a really great question. It just seems like a real big jump.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. And Marco is doing a lot for someone that is his roommate. Like, friendships in college, for the most part, are very fleeting. So it's like, especially if someone's just your roommate, people don't normally like anyone they live with. So
no, you're not supposed to, because yeah, you're supposed to hate those people. I don't know.
Like, leave him alone. Y'all don't know each other. It's okay that y'all hang out. And it's also like, it sucks for Marco because he just really is probably just in a place where he can't read the room, because he would have understood that Griffin never wanted to go to that sale with him. And now he got a pet to take care of and has to go to school. How do people have pets in college?
And we're probably never going to see that damn bunny again. No. It's going to end up like that fair that Ellie had.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
R.I.P. to Bueller or whatever that thing's name was.
Right.
They kill me. All right, on to plot A. So although we ended the last episode with a fight, we're going to begin this one with an intense game of Unity Dodgeball. When Spinner's catching up with Jimmy after the game, he discloses that he does indeed have cancer and he's going to meet with the oncologist later that day to figure out his treatment plan. Jimmy is optimistic, but Spinner, not so much. Then they're having some type of award presentation. She's presenting to the students some crap about the Degrassi-Lakehurst Unity. I wasn't paying attention. Again, I didn't feel like going back. Danny and Derek approach Spinner after the fact to celebrate his internet fame from the fight with Johnny DeMarco, and I realize that I need to create a list of reasons why I hate Danny and Derek. This is absolutely on the list, because they're always just present to stir shit up, I feel, and I hate them for it.
Or anytime information gets spread,
it's always them.
It's them together, and like they think it's normal. Like, no, why would you upload that video?
Like, what is so irritating? They're just pot stirrers at this point.
Messy.
So Spinner is really shocked and upset to find out that a video of him punching Johnny DeMarco in the face is circulating the internet. So clearly Spinner hasn't been paying attention to media immersion for the last 8 years. It cannot be taken down, which is also something that my mother always told me. Jane finds Spinner on the computer in the computer lounge. He's trying to remove his video from the internet, and she's upset, rightfully, that he ditched their game of pool only then to avoid her later. Again, if you recall, he left their date because he had been experiencing complication of his cancer. He does try to break things off with Jane. He's like, oh, I've got dude issues. And she says, well, Johnny got what he deserved, which is a punch. But if you insist, I'll leave it alone. Spinner still stinks, as I said earlier. Terry said earlier. Jimmy tells him immediately, he's like, dude, you are right. He doesn't jump to take a shower, but instead he pushes harder on the weight. So I guess he was in the gym. He's allowed to smell there. Now I almost have to fight Spinner during this conversation, because Jimmy makes a comment about Spinner's fighting hobby, and Spinner reacts super negatively. He asks, why is it up to me to unify the schools? And Jimmy is like, I don't know, maybe because you're on the Peace and Unity Committee? Jimmy reminds Spinner that they've been down this road before, and hello, I am living proof that it doesn't end well, me specifically.
You're fanning the flames, just like we did back then. Or did you forget how I ended up in this chair? You know, it's easy for someone who can't fight to choose not to.
Because not only is this a horrible take, but it's also just beyond disrespectful, because bitch, you are the reason he's in this chair.
Yeah, he never flat out says it, but like Jimmy has been very supportive for Spinner this whole episode, and like all these random jabs are just like, okay, but do you understand that I could really just tell you to your face right now that you're to blame? Like,
right. So instead of rolling over his foot like I would have supported, he kind of gives off an offended huff. It was written in the subtitles as offended huff, and he tells Spinner that having cancer doesn't give him the right to be a jackass. And in the next scene, Spinner apologizes to Johnny for the fight, but not to Jimmy for his foul remark. I'm confused, because Johnny isn't really upset, and he's more interested in putting on a show for attention and clout. Spinner is about to walk away when Johnny says, if he ever decides to man up, that Bruce the Moose would love a chance at Spinner. He then barks, which was really weird. Spinner attends his oncology appointment to find out that he'll need to have the testicle removed and to receive chemo/radiation treatment after it is removed. But don't worry, he will still be able to reproduce or produce children one day, his mother asks, because I was so worried about little Spinners. I want to know why Spinner asked them, oh, so you'll zap it and put it back. Oh. I want you to not be this dumb on purpose. He does ask them what the outcomes will be if he refuses to have treatment. And the doctor is like, you'll die. And so he books the procedure for tomorrow. And then Spinner shaves his head into what I was like, is that called a mohawk still? Or is a mohawk racist? I tried to Google it, but you know Google's racist, so you never really get the answers you need. So calling it a mohawk is racist. Can y'all let me know? And tell me what we're supposed to call it. What is it? Half bald?
Yeah.
She shaved his hair into a bald line.
A bald line.
Anyway. Please just be gentle and give me the answer, because Google did not give it to me quickly enough. So he goes to go fight Bruce the Moose on the camera and pummels into Johnny DeMarco until he ends up like rolling in pain on the ground as the cops are approaching. Everybody immediately disperses, but Spinner ends up weeping. The next day at school, Snake tells Spinner that if he continues with his antics, the police are going to get involved. Now, I don't know why Spinner tried to speak with Jane after writing her off, but he does. And she lets him know that she's not interested with anything with him because his behaviors frighten her. And he tells her, but I've got cancer. And now he has to show everyone that he's still a man because it's testicular cancer. And you're a girl. You don't get it. I get that Spinner's going through it, so I'm not actually shitting on him. I am shitting on him for what he said to Jimmy. I'm going to shit on that. Anything else, I'm just kind of like, meh, you know, life's tough.
Get a helmet. He doesn't know how to express himself at all, especially for this. Right.
No, he needs to see Miss Ove too.
Yeah, and it's happening really fast too. Like, we don't know the timeline for sure, but even the fact alone that they were just like, okay, tomorrow after school. And like,
right.
That can be realistic because like timelines and they caught it early, but it's just like, it's happening so fast, he's not processing anything.
Right. I do feel like it is happening really fast because if you look at Johnny's bruises.
Right.
That's what I'm kind of going off. But who really knows? All right. So Spinner's trying to keep the party going, the fight party going. And Johnny's like, I'm not interested because Simpson's going to call the cops. But Spinner wants to fight Bruce the Moose after school. But Jane approaches Jimmy to talk about Spinner and his weirdness. But Jimmy is uninterested in taking care of Spinner's disrespectful ass any longer, as he should be. Jane is worried that Spinner's going to miss his operation if he goes to fight Bruce instead of going. But Jimmy is like, he's a grown man, and it's time for him to act like it. I'm team Jimmy on this one.
Yeah.
And it's not even just like the matter of, oh, well, he's a grown man, it's time for him to act. He's been mad, disrespectful to him. And I'm not even talking about the comment about the junk earlier, because that was obviously unintentional. But the comment about it's easy for you to not fight because you can't, bitch.
Yeah, that's very intentional. Like,
I'll kill you. Danny and Derek are hyping Spinner up for his death. And honestly, that should have been a red flag that he was going in the wrong direction.
Look.
Jimmy steps or wheels in to try to stop Spinner from his tomfoolery, but he ends up giving advice and telling Spinner, just protect that pretty face. You'll never be a model if you mess it up. What I really want to know is, why did we have to see Spinner's testicle in a cup after his operation?
Yeah, I couldn't figure out why they did that. This whole episode just made me very uncomfortable.
Because he did make it to the operation. And I was just wondering, do people get to keep their organs after they're removed?
Seems like it. I don't know that they would randomly throw that in there if it wasn't a thing. Ugh. It like makes my body hurt thinking about it.
Also, because I asked this question, and one time I had a medical provider allow me to keep my IUD. They were like, yeah, it's been in your body. I feel like you can keep it. I don't need it.
That's so, why do people want things like that?
Anyway, so let me know if you've been allowed to keep your organs after they were removed.
No, keep me out of it.
For what it's worth, I would want it just for the sake of it's mine. What are you going to do with it? If you don't dispose it, if you're going to dispose of it, dispose of it. But if you're going to sell that shit on the black market, then I want my cut. Spinner really did go through the fight, though, so he's got the fines to prove it, but he also made it to his operation. And he tells Jane that there's only one thing he's going to fight now, cancer. They share a laugh, and the episode ends after Spinner says he's all tender, and Jane tells him, I always knew that you were. Amazing. Being single doesn't mean that you have to be alone. That's my episode moral.
That's beautiful. Right. Thanks, before Paige. Valentine's Day.
Oh, you're right.
Yeah, I just said sometimes you need to talk to someone or anyone about what's going on. Spinner really could have. Well, thank God for Jimmy, because Spinner pretty much got pushed to go to the doctors. Spinner is also very stereotypical man with that, because I feel like my partner at least like does not take medicine and really will like avoid the doctor unless it's like dire. And I just think men have a fear of the doctor. So without Jimmy, I think Spinner would have been all in a worse place. And then if Darcy didn't speak to Mr. Simpson, then I don't know, she would have really admitted what happened to her any sooner to like get the actual help she needs.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Everything you just said. Yes, I've always said that the best way, you never have to actively like try to get rid of a man. All you have to do is just stop telling him what to do to keep himself alive.
That's so true.
Watch them take themselves out.
I don't know how they exist otherwise, to be honest.
My mom always said that because she worked at a place for macular degeneration. And like the minute a man's wife died, they'd always show up smelling like piss all the time. And just clearly not being able to take care of themselves.
Yeah.
So that's better for y'all. Anyway.
Yeah, anything y'all need else you Jimmy as your friend for sure, because y'all not going to make it if you're single and don't have a Jimmy in your life.
Right. Anything else you want to add before we wrap things up?
No, we made it through a very tough episode. Thank you for listening. And thanks for giving us the details about who that Craig song was about.
Yeah.
We love when people interact with us and actually give us the answers that we don't have or don't Google. So
I also just feel really excited to notice stuff within our inbox. So. Yeah.
Thanks, y'all.
I get excited every time. So if you like, I always respond with, like, exclamation points, and I sign it with like warmly, because I am really excited. So please understand that those are authentic reactions. Next on Degrassi. Although Manny has returned home, the honeymoon period with her parents is almost ended. And Manny takes a stance when her father insists that she attend a traditional debut. The expensive celebration many Filipino girls attend for their 18th birthday. That wraps this week's episode of Below the Dot Podcast. If you enjoyed your listen, please tell a friend to tell a friend. To hold you over between episodes, you can follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok under some derivative of the username Below the Dot. Feel free to reach out with any questions, comments, or concerns on either of our social media accounts, or email us at whateverittakes385@gmail.com. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll be back on your airways this time next week, whatever it takes.